session. Today, we're joined from Grupo Sura by Gonzalo Perez, the company CEO, Ricardo Jaramillo, Monica Guarin, VP of Human and Corporate Development, Juan Luis Munera, VP of Legal Affairs. From the subsidiaries, we have Juan Fernando Uribe, VP of Finance and Investments of Suramericana, and Carlos Oquendo, VP of Corporate Finance of Sura Asset Management. Thank you for joining us. Let's give the floor to Gonzalo Perez. Thank you, Daniel. What a pleasure to greet you, and thank you for joining us to provide the results of Grupo Sura during the first semester of 2021. Let's begin by discussing the revenue of the company, which we want to divide as we have traditionally. First, we have the revenue from premiums of Suramericana, which have been growing double-digit. And it's important to clarify here that in 2020, revenue from premiums of the companies were also positive compared to 2019, up twice the inflation. There is something I want to underscore. Revenue from premiums today from Suramericana from 2016 to 2020, solely organic growth, equals 4 trillion pesos. This practically represents the revenue came from the acquisition of RSA operations in six countries of Latin America, which was $1.2 billion back then. So what entered Suramericana for premiums was almost that same figure organically from 2016 to 2020. Revenue from commissions reached a record high in the quarter of 23%. Revenue from commissions are very important in the semester of 2021, displaying a record high of 16% in the history of Grupo Sura. The equity method, in turn, during the second quarter of 2021, has also reached a record high in Grupo Sura. In total, we are talking about revenue that grew double-digit, more than 14% for Grupo Sura. When we talk about the company's expenditure, let's tap first on the administrative expenses, which are growing 0.3%. This, in turn, paves a way towards the efficiency followed by every subsidiary and Grupo Sura clearly. Ahead, Ricardo Jaramillo will take a closer look at this indicator, which we will begin to follow day by day in the total expenditures of the group compared to our revenue. Secondly, let's talk about the huge effect of COVID-19, which reached $1.1 billion in losses in 2021 as well. However, we can underscore here that despite these effects, the solvency of Suramericana and of the companies of Suramericana remain too positive. Again, despite the impacts of the pandemic in 2020 and in 2021. As to the creation of value, we want to highlight something strategic that you may know of already, the creation of Axtera, a company that will begin to investigate several important vaccines for Colombia and for Latin America, which are not produced here and need to be imported, which led to the delay of vaccinations in Colombia and in a good portion of Latin America. Vaxtera will also produce vaccines on a short-term basis, I would say by 2022. And the plan, we have a plan to open a plant here in Colombia for vaccines, not only for Colombia, but for Latin America. Indeed, the strategy lies on the leverage made of every business line, giving priority to the life of people, which is one of our goals. Second, we think Vaxtera is important since we foresee more pandemics. So it's our way to anticipate having more local resources for incoming pandemics. When I say local, I mean regional in Latin America to face these pandemics, to protect life, and of course, to protect the economy and growth of our industries and all industries at large. Lastly, the net profit of the company, both regarding Suramericana, its profit moves from 1,000 billion negative, below the budget. But remember the impact of 1.1 billion in losses of COVID-19, and we underscore again that we have our solvency margins. Second, the profit of Suda Asset Management is quite positive, which it arrives through the equity method for a profit in the first semester of Grupo Suda of 670,000 billion pesos. So what we want to tell you today regarding the strategy is that we are way above what we expected for this first semester. Second, it's also important through the strategy to notice the reduction of the debt for more than 300 billion pesos. Third, our program to reacquire stocks, which continues, and Ricardo will explain about. Fourth, a disinvestment of Clover, which was an investment that we had also regarding the strategy of the company, creating value from this investment. And we followed the path of creation of value of Grupo Suda for all of you and for all of the shareholders. Now let's give the floor to Ricardo Jaramillo to give us a closer look of each of these figures. And again, thank you for joining us. And ahead, we'll have your questions. Thank you so much, Gonzalo, and greetings to you all. I'd like to begin with the generation of value that Gonzalo mentioned and complement some figures about this. First, the stock reacquisition program. We have 30 billion pesos now, meaning 10% of the program approved by the Assembly, which we believe is an efficient capital assignment that we will continue in the next coming days. Second, the strategy and deleverage in the first semester of the consolidated debt. We have a reduction of 300 billion pesos, specifically at Suda Asset Management. Third, with regards to capital assignment, we continue in this process of reviewing possible disinvestments. We have the news here that of Suda Ventures, where we made the first successful disinvestment of the company, especially of Clover Health, in which we invested $3.9 million, about 11 billion pesos. And we have this investment of 29.5 billion pesos. I mean, we multiplied by 2.6 the capital invested in pesos with a profitability of 25.9% effective annual in pesos. Let's move to the next slide where we can see the consolidated income statement of Grupo Suda. The main message here is that we have a good net profit for the quarter and the semester, mainly based by the growth of positive revenue, premiums, and commissions, which we'll see in the sections of Sudamericana and Suda Asset Management, and a considerable improvement of the equity method that we'll see ahead. And as mentioned by Gonzalo, we have a strong control of expenses by each of the companies. This led us to end with operating revenue of 11.6 trillion, up 14.6% over the year before. When we see the quarter, we're observing some growth of 13.2% in premiums and 23% in commissions, which we deem is quite satisfactory. Obviously, the critical point in these figures is the claims loss ratio of COVID. Remember, the first quarter of 2020, both in life as in casualty, the claims ratio was low, the economies were closed, the disease curves were not high. So it's entirely different to the situation that we've seen in the first half of 2021, where the curves are high and the economies are in full activity. So the claims ratio has reached more normal levels. So here we see a difference with regards to COVID of 1.1 trillion, understanding that claims ratio of 2021 and 2020 were 236 billion pesos. Operating profit ends at 1.2 trillion, 227 billion above the net profit of the year before, up 29.3%. It's also important to underscore that when it comes to the financial result, interests were paid with good coverages, contributing 132 billion pesos in the profit. And it shows a decrease of debt and of coverages. And we end up with a net profit that you can see of 672 billion pesos in the first half, and a gain, control gain, up to 622. If we look at the right-hand side graph on the very bottom with regards to net profit, the profit of the second quarter was 460 billion. Now let's move on to the next slide where we can highlight two items which are important regarding revenue. First, the equity method, and here Gonzalo already said it. This is a record high for us. And we consider it's very important because there in the graph you can see the recovery that it's showing, reaching a figure of 409 billion pesos in the quarter, really driven not only by Bancolombia, which had a significant, that was very good, but when we see it, each of the investments of Bancolombia, Grupo Argos, Grupo Nutresa, and Protección, which are those which by accounting have the equity method, all had a positive contribution. So this is... Here you can see the difference of 648 billion in the semester versus 153 billion the year before. So difference is quite important. With regards to revenue from investments, I'd say that there's a difference in what Sudamericana, which had an impact the year before because of the higher interest rates, especially in the portfolio valued in the market in Chile and Mexico. And when it comes to Suda Asset Management, we can compensate that partly with the higher profitability of the reserve. It's been moderate, not as good as in historical years, but added to the impact of Sudamericana. Basically, what we see is that we have a revenue of from investments that's very similar to the year before. Next slide. Here we'll see in detail the indicator of expenses that Gonzalo mentioned. And these are operating expenses as a proportion of revenue in the companies in the consolidated. Excluding revenue, the revenues from investments and equity method. I mean, operating expenses directly from the operation of Sudamericana, of Suda Asset Management, and of Grupo Suda, which are the ones that we consolidate line by line on the financial statements. Here I'd like to underscore that we will make a follow-up of this indicator. Right now it's at 45%, and as you can see in past quarters, we have come from 47.3 to 45%. That's 200 basic points, which we consider is quite relevant. And I'd like to also shed light on the fact that when we look at the variation of the accumulated of each company, it shows the effort of the expense controlled. And here we see a reduction close to 0.4% in total, excluding expenses of COVID. Let's move on to the next slide where we see graphically the profit or variation of the profit of Grupo Suda. It's clear that Sudamericana had an impact related to claims ratio, very, very much related to claims ratio. The company, with regards to this, is subtracting 293 in the billion pesos and the consolidated. However, we see the different positive bars on Suda Asset Management, excluding the reserve. We see a very important contribution of the equity method of 429 billion pesos, in addition to Grupo Suda, which when it comes to interest and coverages, to reach a profit of 672 billion pesos. Now let's move on to the section where we look at Sudamericana closer. We already gave you some ideas of the result of the company, and here I would like to underline and give you more details of the consolidated of the segments. First, look at the growth of premiums. Look at the control of expenses, which compensated somehow the impact from the claims ratio of COVID. So we have premiums issued reaching 9.7 trillion, up 10.8%. And when we look at the graph compared to the second quarter of 2020, it's growing 14.4, which is fundamental because it's giving us 1 trillion in growth in the last year, and that trillion really gives us a contribution to the liquidity of the company. Looking at the claims ratio, as I mentioned before, compared to the second quarter of 2020, which was 59%, the claims ratio right now is at 71%, and those differences practically are related to COVID. Right now, without COVID, it's close to 57%, which we think it's a proper level. And specifically, we're talking about life and health, as we'll see in each segment. This leads us then to have a technical result that's dropping 500 basic points. We have a technical result of $1.3 trillion in 2020 to $1 trillion in 2021. Those 500 basic points as a percentage of the premiums issued are being compensated partly with savings in expenses. You can see expenses move from 16% to 14%. There we have 200 basic points. So the difference for profit is 300 basic points of premiums issued related to claims ratio. The other two highlighted in Sudamericana are revenues from investments. We see a decrease in these mainly because of the increase of interest rates. However, we have to highlight as well that the interest paid by the decrease of the debt and by having the debt indexed to inflation gives us lower interest paid. So with this, the company is reaching a negative profit of 1 billion pesos, practically in zero. Some messages important to highlight here. First, the company had a budget of about 52 billion pesos. I mean, the difference that we're having versus what we budgeted is 53 billion pesos. That's one point. And second, we'd like to reiterate that what we have said from the very beginning of the pandemic, both the liquidity and the solvency of Sudamericana's different companies are at healthy and positive levels. It's also important to say this even after the claims ratios that we had last year and those that we have this first half of the year. We hope that the evolution of the company in the second semester will continue with the curves that are favorable as we have the vaccination process underway, which gives us more peace of mind in the region and that these figures for the second half of the year improve. Next slide shows us graphically the profit of different segments. Here, basically, I have two messages for you. The profit of the segments of life, general and health, have been positive. I mean, the company in its fundamental segments is showing positive profits. Obviously, there are operating expenses and expenses related to interest that give that profit of 1 billion negative that I talked about, but the profit of the segments is still positive. And second, the evolution of the quarter, we see the fourth quarter of 20, the first quarter of 2021 were negative in the profit of the company, but now we have positive figures. Let's look at the segments now. First, let's look at life, which continues making major efforts in controlling expenses, mainly because the big impact that the pandemic is seeing in this segment. Premiums have a growth, as we've said, positive in the second quarter of 17.6%. Claims ratio is about 68%. This segment quarterly is reaching levels of 1.5 billion pesos in revenue. We see on the top right graph how the workers' compensation is showing big growth in the past year, growing 28.8% compared to the second quarter of 2020. And we see how commissions and expenses have been contributing significantly to counteract the impact of the claims ratio. Regarding commissions, there is a blend of the channel. We see less commissions in the channel affinity. There's a reduction, as you can see, close to 620 basic points. And in expenses, we have a reduction close to 640 basic points. All this to end the profit in the semester close to 38 billion pesos in the quarter, Specifically, you can see a minus $10 billion, but in the accumulated semester, it's a positive profit. Next slide shows the casualty segment. Here we want to reiterate that it returned. It's now on positive grounds, especially cars, which is the main solution that we have, showed a very positive quarter, growing 20.6. And you can see also the claims ratio had an improvement in the first semester of 2021 to the second quarter. We have to highlight that the growth is not that strong because in this segment, there's an issue of a series of multi-annual policies that don't last a year and that were issued in the first semester of 2020 and that will be renewed at the end of the second semester of 21 or in the year 2022. So that's why we see a growth close to 1%. We see stability in different topics of administration expenses, commissions, and technical expenses. We see an improvement in the first quarter of the combined ratio, and we have positive profit again in the quarter and in the semester. Understanding that in this segment, as we mentioned in previous calls, we also have impacts from COVID related to the operations from Mexico and Panama. Here we see close to 68 billion pesos of that impact in those countries. Now let's move to the segment of health in the next slide. This segment shows a growth very important in premiums. We'd like to highlight the management that's being made in this segment. First, because the quarter is reaching a level of premiums and revenue of 1.7 billion. This compared to the first quarter of 2020, which grew 43%. And the company has been able to maintain the level of the control of expenses and claims ratio, even with that big growth of affiliates close to 200,000 in the semester. Now we're almost at 4.4 million affiliates, which gives us an important scale and allows a profit in the quarter of 25 billion pesos. Here I want to underscore the importance of Ayudas Diagnosticas, one of the companies that we have in this segment that contributes to everything has to do with tests and the diagnostics made by the company. It has been very busy, as you can imagine, during the pandemic. As to vaccines, we'd like to inform you that the company has vaccinated or given close to 2.4 million vaccines, and that the death rate continues at very positive levels, 0.88%. With regards to reference, you can see why we think that this is positive for the customers of SURA, and it's an added value, which because of the bottom line, we're giving this to the clients. In Colombia, lethality is 2.61, and in the world, it's at 2.16. On the other hand, we see a growth in the complementary plan still. We're reaching close to 250,000 affiliates, which also we consider is quite significant. Now let's move on to talk about SURA Asset Management. First, we'll see the consolidated income statement, pointing out also some of the items I mentioned before. I would say that SURA Asset Management moves through three large pillars. First, we'll see closely the business line. It's a very positive growth of commissions in the savings for retirement as well as voluntary. The second item has to do with the equity method that comes from Protección. And the third item is a major effort made to control expenses. This allows us then to reach an operating profit of 528 billion pesos, up 65% in the profit of the company. And at the end, in the item of net earnings, we see in the first half of the year a profit of 305 billion pesos, up 154%, which is quite positive. Here we'd like to highlight then revenue from commissions quarter by quarter, growing 23.4%. Also, I'd like to highlight the operating earning without reserves, showing on the potted line on the upper right-hand graph, a very good progress. And the variation of profit seen in the graph how the segments contribute to those 305 in the company. So now we can look at the segment of savings for retirement in this next slide. Here we talk about revenue from commissions that are growing significantly. It's important to highlight the growth of AUMs, keeping in mind the retirements that you know of that happened in Chile and in Peru. We've seen growth of AUMs, and we recovered the salary base in the region. Revenue from commissions are separated in revenues related to charges of AUMs, mainly in Mexico, and charged by flow. Both are close to 20%, which is quite positive. Part of that is related to the exchange rate. Understanding that the Colombian currency devaluated a bit more than the currency of other countries, it's about 5% of that figure is related to the exchange rate. In the lower left-hand side, you can see the particular trend of this segment in the control of expenses from 56.2% to 51.2%, showing that drop in control. And we also see how in revenue, here we see throughout different geography what's happening. In Mexico, Chile, Peru, and Uruguay, we see growths that are very positive. I'd like to highlight here that alpha in portfolio. For the first time, we have an alpha of 83% of AUMs with alpha, which we consider is quite strong in our management, especially in moments of high volatility in the markets like those of today. Now, let's look at the investments business of Sura and Investment Management, which is a voluntary business, and we have different messages. First, we have a fast growth in the revenue, as we've mentioned, and in the third quarter in a row, we have positive figures, and we have a profitability on the short and medium term in the segment that will be above the capital cost. The idea is to recover all of the charges that we have invested in latest years in the platform that we have in the company regionally. Growth of relevant AUMs, we see growth against the second quarter of 2020 of 21.4%. Net flow is still in the quarter negative of $1.2 billion. And in total of the semester, we see a positive net flow, which we think is quite relevant, understanding the situation in the region. And we'd like to highlight the levels of revenue that we're reaching now. In the first quarter, reached 100 billion pesos in this business line. And the operating profit, as we mentioned, is positive for the third quarter in a row. So with this, we end the summary of the figures. I'd like to emphasize that these figures give us satisfaction. We have the challenge to overcome the COVID, but these are figures that are better than expected, better than the budget, and aim towards a clear goal that we have in each of the company, in each of the business line, to reach that level, to create value from a profitability of a ROE above the cost of the equity. So now let's go back to the team and begin our Q&A session. A live Q&A session. Thank you. Thank you. As of now, we will begin the Q&A session. We will begin receiving questions in the Spanish section. For those connected in English or only connected through the web, please send your questions in writing through the platform. Later, we will answer those questions. For those in the Spanish line, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your phone. If you want to remove from the waiting list, just press pound. Again, if you have a question, press star 1. Again, if you have any questions by phone, press star followed by 1. And we have Andres Soto from Santander. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. My question is regarding expenses. We saw improvements in this quarter. Could you give us more details about the goals you have on a medium term regarding this reacquisition of stocks that you have right now? Andrés, overall, and then Ricardo and my colleagues can reply. We clearly know that the efficiency of this company is fundamental for its competitiveness. Depending of each of the solutions, there are goals that are different. The insurance business, we have set goals year by year that have been met. And really, on a medium and short-term basis, the goal is to reach 9% of expenses over premiums issued. Also, the reduction of goals in the SUDA asset management business is also determining. So we do have goals for 3 and 5 years from now that seek precisely that efficiency in the operation to create value. So, and it's also important to clarify that the goals of efficiency are not only as a control of expense, but operational models to develop strategies and in turn to have more efficient processes so that the reduction can be more structural within the businesses or not, and not just something temporary. So I don't know if Ricardo would like to add something. Yes, Andrés, good morning. I'd like to take advantage of this moment to tell you that we are looking closely how to have more gains in the market. This has been something that we have been asked about a lot. Right now, as Gonzalo said, we have a 5-year projection in each of the company that's part of the portfolio of Grupo Sura, and that shows indicators. And little by little, we have been showing where these indicators reach so that you can have more visibility of our goal to have a higher profitability level. We are a bit behind but with the COVID, but particularly the indicator that's at 45% will really depend on the expenses and the levels of expenses that we'll have. But what I want to understate here is that we will begin to look at this indicator of revenues versus expenses, and we'll be keeping you posted about this. Also, we've been asked a lot of why we're not reaching our goals, but Andrés, I think that this gives you a good answer. Perfect. Thank you so much, Gonzalo. Ricardo, definitely. It will be great to have more information about that. Another question that I have for you has to do with the leverage. To reduce your debt, right now, what's your real goal when it comes to the deleveraging? Perfect. In that discussion, we've always said that we have to understand that our goal is that we have to look at the debt and the consolidated. Right now, we have $8.5 trillion in debt between SUDA, SUDA AM, and Grupo SUDA. This year particularly, as we said already, SUDA AM has dropped about $90 million, which is part of the liquidity that the company had in past investments. So this company this year will deleverage. And even with the acquisitions of capital, we can continue more deleveraging when it comes to SUDA AM. When it comes to SUDA Americana, you can imagine with the claims ratio and the profits, we have to be very careful. We do not have a maturity until 2023, so SUDA Americana will have lower debt levels. And if we look at this through indicators and with the rating firms. You could say with dividends received, we really understand, based on the results of the companies last year, what we see are results that are much more higher than expected from all of these companies. So the idea is to have indicators that are more proper and go hand in hand more with rating firms. At Grupo Sura, the debt is of 4.4 trillion. And as we've said in the past, we have resources available of cash flow close to 900 trillion pesos, billion pesos. So that's a third that provided to dividends. So again, we've been consistent really to return the dividends. And the third part is for the reduction of the deleveraging. We have to keep in mind that the reacquisition of stocks is one of the projects that we think is interesting to deleverage and to assign capital efficiently. As we said before, we're beginning this process, and we have to start seeing how to continue deleveraging in the best way. I would say that during this year, the results of our debt in Grupo Sura are not as good as expected. However, when it comes to the disinvestments with Clover, here you can see that we're managing constantly how to use that or to manage that negative capital figure, because the idea is to reduce the deleveraging. So surely we'll have disinvestments that will allow us not only to have the organic growth needed for the leverage, but also to have better capital at hand. So we do expect this year to have a level of debt in Grupo Sura way below what we saw last year. It really will depend on the processes of acquisition that we have and with the processes of use and the standardization of the dividends received, we can increase the speed of deleveraging. I would like to add particularly this. The assignment of capital seeks to reduce debt, yes, but to optimize equity. Because as you've seen that in Sudamerican and Sura Asset Management, both companies have released capital to reduce their debt. Sura Asset Management, for instance, this first quarter, and did very well this first quarter of the year, as well as Sudamericana last year. So every day, because when we look at this equity, we can improve and release capital that can help us, as Ricardo said, help us to accelerate the process of reducing the leverage. I would like to add also that we see this as marginal increases semester by semester, but it's important to see when was the maximum term of deleveraging compared to today. Why? Because we have taken an important path on this. Before we were at 11 trillion, now we're 8.5, and really the company has been consistent in this process. And we have to reach that middle term in which we disinvest and we reduce debt. Again, we have to keep in mind that deleveraging is done, especially with companies that are in better position than in recent years. And another question, if you allow me, regarding the tax reform that's discussed in Congress, what are the implications or the impacts that this will have on your business? Does this only apply to Bancolombia or the other subsidiaries you have in Colombia? Is there a change in the law of presumptive tax? Andres, I would say overall that we're very cautious, because what's on the table right now is a proposal, and the impact on the different companies really isn't very significant. However, we have to take baby steps, because
We have to see what really will be approved. And it is important to keep in mind that we're very aware that we all have to make sacrifices for our country. So when we have higher interest rates or taxes, that will have to have an impact on deferred taxes and also on to deduce the ICA, but also in the insurance companies. In the Constitution, they have conditions that are more determined, much more defined. I don't know if somebody else would like to add something. No. No. Everybody said already. But really, there's really the impact that we see with that is not very significant. Perfect. Thank you so much, Ricardo and Gonzalo, for your answers. Right now, we have no other questions by phone. Let me read some questions received by chat. First, from Daniel Guardiola, from, could you tell us more about the results of the mandatory segment? What is your forecast of the returns for 2021? Okay, Daniel. Look, withdrawals in Peru and in Chile have had a condition that has forced us to generate liquidity and to disinvest in assets that we had to be able to meet the for our investors or the those that request the funds. This in turn, even in Chile, it has forced us to have a negative when it comes to the yield of the reserves. But in countries like in Peru, Uruguay, Mexico, and Colombia, we have had a yield of the reserve above 5 or 7%, even in Mexico, and 16% in Uruguay. When it comes to the recovery in Chile, if there are no more withdrawals, I think that the discussions held for a fourth withdrawal in Chile won't take place. And it will really depend if we have to make those disinvestments to reach the proper yields. However, this year we are above figures of last year. Last year, in the months of April and May, we had good recovery levels. And this year, we expect to close with total reserves to compensate 2020. So really, it will depend if we have the withdrawals or not and the disinvestments we are forced to make. Another question from Julian, from Corredores. There are three questions in one. The increase of numbers of subscribers in healthcare is organic. What's your expectation of this for this year and next year? And when it comes to the capital ROI, what's your expectation of that? Before listening to Juan, there's something that's important here. For some years now, several years, the sales process in the mandatory sector really depended on the flight to quality, and the growth has been literally organic and has led us not to sell really, but for several years now, we have our HMO, or EPS. As Ricardo mentioned, it's very important. 250,000 subscribers is a lot. And that really leverages our HMO. And so to give you a perspective, the growth is organic, yes. And it's a migration of some EPS or HMOs. And proof of this is the growth of our workers' compensation system with formal jobs which grew, like Ricardo said. So when it comes to sales, the growth is organic, yes. Marketing, the marketing sales process of our HMOs has dropped to compensate the claims ratio, and that's why our HMO today has great results in Sudamericana. But Juan, you can give us more ideas. Yes. In addition to what Gonzalo said, I would say that there are two things that embrace this. Today, the process is very easy to register through the websites of the HMOs. And in the HMO of SUDA, we seek to complement and diversify the base of affiliates or people registered and in different age groups. We're targeting now younger people. What's the next question? The third question has to do with TuberCap. Yes, Juliana, thanks for your question. The cash flow is updated constantly. We are clear of how the dividends are from the assemblies. We know then, and we see the results of the different companies throughout the year to know what's their capability to provide dividends in 2022 compared to 2021. So with the results of Bancolombia we have right now, they're very positive. We are sure that this year we'll have less dividends received because the bank couldn't give us the more dividends because of its results of 2020. So right now we see that we have different companies related to Bancolombia, Grupo Oraza, Nutresa, and Sura AM that show us different scenarios regarding the cash flow. And also we have to keep in mind that Sudamericana has different settings right now that are being studied, and we have to see the cash flows right now. But we do see now that there's a cash flow for 2022 that will be above what we had modeled because the operation is going through, and we think it's above what we have through our rating firms. So what does this give us? More chances to have the deleveraging that we're seeking, more capability to have a better performance with our dividends. And when it comes to the reacquisition of stocks, we will have more flows. So as I said before, we have possible disinvestments and optimization of capital. So all these are initiatives that we're looking throughout all of our companies to check out our cash flow right now. I can't tell you what the figure will be specifically, but it will depend on the results of the companies on the second half of the year. I would like to add, and it's the different length of the risks. Sudamericana for 10 years had a growth of dividends planned on a 10-year basis, and it's made it possible to have a difference. So right now what we're seeing really is to have investments in different sectors that will complement cross-sectionally with equity methods. So we hope that we will have better luck and that we'll have good results, but that shows clearly the strength of having diverse investments. For the dividends, Suramericana this year contributed the dividends it did before. Now the bank, with the results, is giving step-by-step and month-by-month. We see that Sura Asset Management also, Ricardo said, Grupo Argos and Nutresa. I mean, this is something that we think is fundamental for the sustainability of any industry. And I would like to add, Gonzalo, that it's not only making these investments, but geographically, there's an important diversification that helps us to compensate all this. So, for instance, Sudamericana has a big impact on health and workers' compensation HMOs. But in other countries, it's seeking, it's making other acquisitions. So every business has been compensating, and SUDA Asset Management also right now with the voluntary segment and other companies, especially those associated. And to answer your third question, when do we see that the ROE is above the CAI? As I said before, we have 5 investments projected with and within each of the companies and the internal figures of Grupo SUDA. We had a scenario that we showed you in which we aimed by 2022 to reach good levels, but the pandemic clearly held us back last year. It was hard, and I believe that, in short, depending of the diversity, and we're saying that the pandemic will last 2 more years. So it really depends of looking at each line, how we see the returns and the indicators of each company, and we'll be showing in next time what's happening. But the idea is to reach 23-24 aligned with the cost of the equity of Grupo SUDA. I don't know if that answered your first question. The second question, what paths are taken to counteract the claims ratio levels? I think we have to anticipate, and part of that anticipation goes hand in hand with the management of the risky areas of the company of Sudamericana. Not only, it really helps us to anticipate, especially to see how the company reacts to expenses, but also how we expect the cash flow. When we have a lethality rate of 0.60, while the globe is at 2.1 lethality rate or death rate, our claims ratio is only a third, and that shows our direct management of the claims ratio and expenses, of course, to provide a timely service to the people so that lethality is reduced. And it's important to keep this in mind because there's a deep knowledge of Sudamericana that implies that we anticipate to serve the people on a timely basis. For instance, everything has to do with oxygen therapy, which has helped us to drop lethality compared to the figures worldwide. So that's the management that every day is given. Every day we see curves on a daily basis in the area of risks, in the business, in the financial area, the commercial areas. They allow us every day to anticipate to what's going to happen and to set in. That's why, despite the $1.2 billion that we've mentioned or the $1.4 of last year, we could say clearly that it could be the third part of what this company could have had, not only in claims ratio, but also expenditure management. Also, the vaccination plans, Gonzalo, is something important that we should keep in mind. In Latin America, we're seeing, with the workers' compensation now, we have indicators of lower claims ratio because many company workers are being vaccinated and with very effective levels. So as we have more dynamics and more acceptance for vaccinations throughout the region, we can expect that our claims ratio can reduce. We also have to underline the Vaxtera company. I was with the governor's office this morning, and With Ayuda Diagnosticas, the other company, the idea is to have a capability that will help the department. With the, for the next pandemic, the idea is that we don't have to bring the vaccinations, but instead to make them. The idea is to have a vaccination capability above what we have today, and that is something that we are seeking, to have much more vaccinations in Colombia and in the region. And the idea, so the next pandemic, when it comes to what's going to happen after COVID-19 in mankind, we can anticipate. We have several questions related to the stocks. The topics ask are, what's your vision of the price of the stocks? What are you doing especially to close that discount? And tell us more about the reacquisition of stocks. Okay, this is a topic that we are very busy with. What we see when it comes to the price of the stock is not what we think is the value of our assets. We have five investments that are very strong right now, that when you add the value, that these investments, these are, of course, above the value of our stock today. Beyond explaining or giving you, telling you that the market is small or that these are problems that we can't control, I think it's better to give you an idea of how we try to improve our returns, how we make, for instance, the major investment made in the past decade, and how we are all committed to make the reimbursement, to grow our organically, to show the strength that we have of our portfolio and the benefits, and to give a print of our business and to give good gains throughout our companies. So this obviously has to do with the returns, but also with many initiatives that we're working on for many years now. And here we can see that companies are playing a major role. So it's got to be the proper time. We've got to be careful. We have to look at the different initiatives, understanding what happens with stocks in different geographies, because we have limitations when it comes to the prices of stocks in Colombia. There are many international investors that have left that have left the Colombian stock market, and right now, what we call the retails do not have the power that is needed to have a better price. So there are many initiatives in that aspect that we have underway. That's why we're going through the reacquisition. We think it's an interesting tool. We have 10% already now invested. We have to continue with this tool. Remember, it works with two mechanisms. One is the one that we've been using to simply be another player in the stock market. And that shows us that the speed of the acquisition is a bit slower, because the superintendent is the one that stops that drive, or allows us to have percentages that are way below. So we're just another player in the market, or to make a large acquisition using, and these are the tools that we use. And we'll keep informing you of what we're doing in this case. We will continue the reacquisition, the first level at least. We already reached $30 billion, the 10% of what the Assembly of Shareholders has approved, and the idea is to continue. So this is a very deep discussion. I know there are different viewpoints from different analysts and investors with regards to the price of the stock and what we should be doing. There are many restrictions on this topic, and carefully, with a lot of analysis, we must decide when we have to proceed, because the idea is to close the discount without putting at risk the sustainability of the company. I would like to underscore what Ricardo said first. Is the first thing that we're doing is ask ourselves what we should do so that our stock should reach the level it should be. And this covers all of our subsidiaries. So it's important to clarify the growth seen by Sudamericana and by Suda Asset Management are growths, which on a medium and long-term basis guarantee the sustainability of the companies. By 2021-2022, if we have double-digit growths, this will give us sustainability, because you know that everything begins with revenue. So we have to look at the market. We have to look at 2021 and see that in Sudamericana and in Suda Asset Management, what will happen. That's the first thing. Secondly, the return that was one of the questions has to do with expenses, yes. However, the incremental expenses because of the pandemic moved from 0.3 to the double digit. And that shows us, as Ricardo said before, we're on this path to have a higher return over our equity. And we must look at this on a daily basis and create value for those that are that prefer us, and that they can see that Suda Asset Management or Suda Americana is reaching its goals. And that data is important because we believe that it gives us sustainability. And third, we must prepare internally so that all of these processes of all of the companies have the chance to seek other markets. And we're preparing internally in the company for that. We're looking at the subsidiaries in Grupo Suda, and we're looking at elements which are well managed. It's very important to have that responsibility, and that we should make the disinvestments and independent of all the considerations made. We must acknowledge the price of our stock. If you take the companies in the last 10 years, for instance, Sudamericana that's affected now, or in the past 5 or in the past 10, even in the years 2020 or 21, you can see that Sudamericana in the past 5 years and the past 10 really had a good equity. So we have to look at this way, because the projection of the companies with the management made creates value still, and that's the path that we want to take always. No further questions. We're going to take 2 more minutes. Whereas, what are the specific projects that the foundation is working on? The foundation, which celebrated its 50th anniversary recently, is a foundation that has migrated to philanthropy, but also social investments, and has clear focuses on education, on culture, and entrepreneurship. So those are the 3 pillars of the foundation. Present not only in Colombia, but it's also important to know that now we have the foundation in Mexico, Chile, and El Salvador, and Dominican Republic. Why education? Why culture? Because that really is a network that creates sustainability, and that's what we want to focus all our efforts on. And we're also developing the young generation. And for 2021, we bet large on the cultural sector and the healthcare sector. It was necessary. Several companies and foundations have made it, especially to help ICUs in the region, not only in Colombia, really, but in Argentina, Uruguay, in all the areas where we operate. But especially we have focused on the healthcare because of COVID. But really education, culture, and entrepreneurship are the three pillars of the foundation. Now we don't have any more questions. Again, thank you all for joining us and for participating in the call of results. We want to reiterate our commitment. The results of the first semester are above those that we expected. We'll see. We think that the revenue is very good of all of our companies. Again, our activity allows us to see a better future for all of the companies and to add the reputational assets, which gives sustainability to the companies. And also the control of expenditures is very important because with or without COVID, it really helps us to reach higher competitiveness and to seek better results with our equity at Grupo Sura and each of the subsidiaries, which is the path that we are all sharing with you every quarter. Thank you for joining us, for being with us, and for your questions. Have a nice day. Thank you all. This ends the teleconference for today. If you wish to listen to it again, it's on the website in coming days. You may hang up now.